And so our generosity needs to be expanded. We need to open up our circle a little bit. And while we remember that charity begins at home, we're given the example of the early church as they took care of the needs first in the household of faith. They were able to have an impact for people even outside.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
What are you watching?
It's a documentary about corporate greed in America.
Another program bashing our capitalistic way of life?
Hey, capitalism isn't the only way to run an economy.
So you want socialism? Communism?
I don't want to get into a political debate. I just want to watch my program.
Why is everyone so down on capitalism?
Perhaps because it's an economic and political system by which industry is controlled by a few who profit off the many.
Here we go.
Listen, greed will be the thing that brings our country to the brink of ruin.
You ever read the book Greed is Good?
I thought that was a line from a movie. Are you telling me that someone actually wrote a book called Greed is Good?
Well, it's based on the political philosophy of getting government out of the way and allowing supply and demand to rule the marketplace.
Yeah, I get it. Greed.
As we continue studying the themes found in the book of Proverbs, today we look at the wisdom of generosity.
Heavenly Father, again, we just want to say that we love you. Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us and convict us and challenge us, even as we take a look at what you have to say to us through these Proverbs today. Lord, open our hearts, make us willing to hear, remove any stubbornness, remove any selfishness that would hinder us from applying these things to our lives. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you, who was responsible for the high prices of gas, what would you say? The oil companies, of course, right? And who's responsible for the high taxes that we pay? The politicians, of course. And you know, we always have a way of looking at somebody else to blame and to hold responsible. And many times we don't see our role and in the greediness by which we live our lives in producing the scarcity of resources that exist. So we drive our big hog and blame the oil companies. Amen. And I think one of the things that stuck out at me as I took a look at these proverbs is that we need to see our role and how our hearts play a role in the messed up world in which we live. And a lot of the times, the social problems and scarcity of resources are created by the cumulative efforts of greedy man in our traverse through this world. The opposite of greediness, however, is generosity. And I believe that there are a number of proverbs that point out to us that we need to be generous people as opposed to greedy. While greediness is destructive, generosity is healing. Generosity solves problems that greed creates. The essence of sin, I've said this many times, the essence of sin is what? Selfishness. Selfishness that all of us have in our hearts, that is what sin is composed of. And the antidote to that selfishness and sin is love. And love is demonstrated by our generosity in giving. Proverbs reminds us in proverb after proverb, we're going to look at a few of them today, that the wise man is a generous man. The wise man will reap what he sows. And so we're going to start our little tour today in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. And what I want you to see here in this proverb is that the generous man will be blessed. The generous man will be blessed. Verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be what? Blessed. Now, a generous eye is an interesting phrase there. And what he's saying is that people who look for opportunities to give, not just people who wait until they are begged, but people who look for opportunities to give will be blessed. That's having a generous eye. The generous eye that looks out for others. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, it tells us that the generous man will be made rich. Just another way of saying that he's going to be blessed. And in this particular way, he's talking about in finances coming back to him. Now, keep in mind, you know, I'm not one of those prosperity preachers that says that, you know, you give a dollar, sow a seed, and another dollar is going to come back to you. But what I think the principle is that when you give, God is no man's debtor, and he's going to bless you in return. Now, also, I need to mention, I've mentioned it a couple times, but just so that we're all clear, these proverbs are not promises. These proverbs, they call them truisms. It's sort of like a principle that is generally true. So, for example, a good proverb would be, if you drive slowly and defensively, you will get home without having an accident. Well, that's a truism. It's a good principle to live by, and it generally works out that way. But it's not a promise that you're not going to have an accident on your way home. You follow what I'm saying? And so we need to understand when we read these proverbs that these are principles that generally work out that way in our lives. And this proverb lays out for us a true principle that the generous person will be blessed and he's going to reap what he sows. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, I hope you're making a note of some of these proverbs. You can go back and look at them later. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he talks there about honoring the Lord with your substance. He says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, our generosity should start with giving to God. Amen. That we start out with our generosity by giving to God and to the Lord's work. We are to honor God with our giving. The fact is that God will always, he's going to bless you when you honor him with your substance. You'll never exhaust his resources as he blesses you for your generosity. Even David, he was the one who wrote in Psalm 37, 25, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You don't see God's people out there totally destitute. Why? Because the righteous, wise man who honors God with his substance, God is going to bless that person. It doesn't mean you're not going to run into trouble. Doesn't mean times aren't going to get tough. Doesn't mean you're going to have to you'll never have to pinch a penny. But at the end of the day, God is going to take care of his people. Proverbs 28, 27, it says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. I like that. Why? Because God is no man's debtor. And God is going to bless those who have a generous eye and a generous spirit. Now, it is true that when you give a cup of cold water to a dying man, you're honoring God. It's the same as giving to him. Jesus taught that giving to somebody in need is like giving to God. And so we honor the Lord with our generous offerings and our gifts to other people around us. But we need to prioritize our ability to be able to honor God with our giving to the Lord's work and then have an eye out to be able to help other people that are in need around us. I wonder how many of us have a generous eye. I wonder how many of us look out for the needs of others. You know, let me tell you what, here's what a lot of people do. How you doing today? Oh, fine. I'm fine, you're fine, and we go our way. Isn't that the extent of much of our interaction? And if I start to tell you the problems and troubles that I have, well, I wasn't really asking for all that. We need to have a generous eye, a spirit that is wanting to hear, to know how people are doing, and wanting to respond to some of those needs that are around us. And so we honor the Lord with that generous eye to meet the needs of others around us. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, and it makes it pretty clear, he says, "He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord." I like that. And remember that God is not going to be on the end where he owes us anything. He's not going to be a debtor to man. And so our families, as well as our churches, need to not become so self-focused and ingrown that we fail to generously meet the needs of others around us. When we're that generous person, our lives are actually added to. When you give and help somebody else in need, it is a plus sign in the kingdom of God, and our lives are actually added to. And I trust that you see the truth of that. But there's something else that I want you to see, and that is, going back to Proverbs 1:19, we read that greediness, on the other hand, subtracts from our lives. So if giving, it's almost a, you know, it's like the opposite of what we normally think. Giving adds to us and we're blessed. Greediness subtracts from us. And we end up in a situation where we are the losers. The natural reaction to scarcity is to hoard and save. Now, I'm one that believes that we need to save. I think that we, you know, as a church, as individuals, as families, saving should be an important part of our budgeting process, right? We need to be able to save. The fact of the matter is, however, we don't save for security. We save so that we can do what God wants us to do. And as families, your family and my family, we need to always have a margin in us, in our lives, so that we have room to be able to be generous and to help others. You know, I heard a guy doing a financial seminar one time, and he made it clear. He says, you know what? We don't have an income problem. In our families, we don't have an income problem. The reality is, when you get a raise, what happens? You raise your bills. We don't have an income problem. We got a spending problem. Because our tendency is to spend right up to the limit of our income. And I'm suggesting that if we're going to be generous, if we're going to be able to give, if we're going to be able to meet needs around us, we got to make sure that our lives are always with a margin. That we don't let our expenses get all the way up to the line of our income. And sometimes, truth be told, we're over the line. And so we need to make sure that that we understand that greediness actually subtracts from our lives. But we believe that keeping ourselves within that margin is adding to ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, we find that the churches in Macedonia, if you read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, those two chapters, the churches in Macedonia were going through hard times. They were in a state of shortage and poverty. And Paul comes around while they're in this state of poverty, and he says, yeah, I know you guys are having a hard time, but the saints in Jerusalem are in desperate need. And so we need you to take an offering and give some help to these saints that are in Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that in the midst of their shortage and scarcity, in the midst of their poverty, they gave more than they were able to give. I like that. That their generosity was such that they gave more than they were able. They gave beyond their ability in order to meet the needs around us. That's what I call generosity. And when you think of that, you would think that that's subtracting from them. I want to tell you, God blesses that kind of generosity. Amen? And we need to be that kind of people that see that the plus sign is on the giving, not on the hoarding. While giving while experiencing a shortage is actually an act of faith and trust in God. It's a demonstration of what we talk about. And some of us can talk a good talk. Amen. Some of us, we know all the right things to say, but at the end of the day, it's not in our hearts to do what God has called us to do. And so some of us, we talk a good talk, but when it comes right down to it, we really don't trust God. We really don't believe his word. And we fail to give generously, and we miss out on the blessing and joy of knowing that we have made a difference in somebody's life. That's the joy that a new toy can't give you. That's the joy that another pair of shoes can't provide. Now, I'm not saying don't buy that extra pair of shoes, but Lord knows most of us have more shoes than we need. Amen. That's the joy that all the stuff that we put around us. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy that new dress or buy that new suit. What I'm saying is that we need to always make sure that we leave a margin in our lives so that we have room to be generous and meet the needs around us. Can I get an amen? In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. It starts with compassion. It starts with just thinking about the people that are in need. Compassion, the word compassion means to share in the passion, to share in the pain, to be able to experience with somebody else the pain and situation that they're going through. And unfortunately, many of us guard our hearts so firmly that we can't even feel the pain anymore. We run by so many people out on the street and around us, just drive into the city. There's so much need out there that we have become oblivious to the pain. And I think that the Spirit of God wants us to start with compassion and to have that heart of generosity. Greediness takes away from our lives, while generosity adds a blessing and adds the joy that comes with it. And then thirdly, I want you to see that the generous person is and the wise man is generous even to an enemy in need. Look at Proverbs 25, 21. Proverbs 25, 21. It says, if your best friend is hungry, give him bread to eat. Is that what your Bible says? Am I reading a different translation? If homeboy has a need, if cousin calls up and needs some help, is that what it says? He says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. That's the person who's talking about you. That's the person who's been gossiping about you all along. That's the person who doesn't have the nice thing to say. That our generosity and our compassion And our giving needs to be extended even to those people that you, from a human standpoint, you can't even stand them. Amen. And so I look at it this way. We need to widen our circle of generosity. Not only should we develop a heart of generosity, but we need to widen the circle of generosity. Most of us have no problem extending help to our friends and loved ones. The challenge for us is to go outside of our circle with our generosity. Our support of missions needs to go beyond just our small circle, and it needs to go outside to support those at home and abroad. Our benevolence giving as a church should be extended even not only inside our membership, but outside our membership and into the community. Our generosity should be given even to our enemies and those that stand against us, those that we disagree with, the people that we can't get along with. Now, obviously, we need to remember that charity begins at home. Amen. And our giving needs to be prioritized, as the Bible says, first in the household of faith. So we need to make sure that we can take care of the needs that are in the household of faith. But that doesn't mean that you build a brick wall around these four walls and we can't help anybody out there because we got needs in here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because guess what? We will never get to the place where there are no needs in here. And if you wait for that, we'll never have any impact in the community. We'll never do any giving outside the community. And certainly we won't be giving to people that we don't have a relationship with. And so our generosity needs to be expanded. We need to open up our circle a little bit. And while we remember that charity begins at home, we're given the example of the early church as they took care of the needs first in the household of faith. They were able to have an impact for people even outside. The proverb does not erase the priority of meeting needs among the fellowship of believers. But the fact is that this proverb challenges our stinginess and it challenges our lack of generosity to meet needs outside of our fellowship.
Dr. Hart will return with some closing thoughts just after we share a new offer. It's the book, Trouble I've Seen, by Dr. Andrew Hart. The book takes a hard look at racism, justice, and their relationship to our faith. For your donation of any amount, we'll send you the book as a thank you. And if you would become a monthly supporter, we will send you a handsome golf shirt monogrammed with our GOGF logo. We'll share our contact information at the close of today's program. Here's Dr. Hart.
But there are people that are in need right in our community, and we have an opportunity to help. And so we need to prioritize the needs in our fellowship, but we also need to meet needs that are in our community, needs among non-believers, needs among people that can't get along with you, those needs that we come across every day. And so our mission here at Monco is to make disciples. Oh, come on now. See, our visitors are going to think that you don't know why we exist. What's our mission here at Monco? To make
disciples.
All right. So if that's our mission, then let's get busy. If we love God, then let's get busy and share his love with the world. Amen? And that's what we should be all about. And I think that's what this proverb is challenging us to do. You know, clearly we can't meet all the needs of the whole world. And Jesus didn't heal every sick person that he encountered. But he taught us that our neighbor can be a Samaritan. Our neighbor can be an immoral woman. Our neighbor can be an outcast leper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting the point? Our neighbor is not always our best buddy. And so even as we prioritize the needs in our fellowship, let's always be open to share God's love with the world as he enables us to do so. And then lastly, I want you to see that he won't procrastinate with his generosity. The wise man won't procrastinate. In Proverbs 3:27, he says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so." And so the wise man is not going to put off extending his generosity when it's in his power to do so. Notice that the text does not tell you to do something that you can't afford to do. He's not telling you to go down to the bank and take out a loan to help somebody else. The challenge is to do what is in your power and what is within your ability. Wisdom is generous, but it is also prudent and wise. Most of us live too far on the safe side, and so out of caution, we procrastinate and we don't help. And there's nothing wrong with caution, but the needs of people around us don't wait. And so we can miss the moment when help is needed and when help is possible. Guess what? The electric company won't wait. The landlord won't wait. Food only lasts but so long. And so when it's in your ability and your power to do something, don't procrastinate. Act and give. His generosity and self-sacrifice was a demonstration of his love. And you and I, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to walk in that way. As his disciples are called to follow him with that same kind of generosity, you and I need to trust him and obey him and follow him with a heart of generosity.
We thank God for the opportunity to share his word and his love with you, our faithful listeners and partners. As always, we invite you to send us your prayer requests and your requests for our current offer. Our mailing address is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our online address is www.gogf.org. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and the entire staff here at GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that you can trust the next chapter because God is the author.